mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel for this Lord's Day revolves around two questions. A Pharisee, a teacher of the law, asked Jesus, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus then asks the Pharisees, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" Now you may have heard me say what I'm now about to say so many times that you may well be tired of hearing it. Nevertheless, it is nothing but the truth. To be a Christian is primarily a matter of being loved. Only then is it a matter of loving. To be a Christian is primarily a matter of being loved. Only then is it a matter of loving. Saint John, the great apostle of love, puts this with wonderful clarity and simplicity when he writes, "We love because he first loved us." When a teacher of the law asked Jesus, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus replies, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." When Jesus speaks of all the law and the prophets, what he means is the entire scriptures of the Old Testament. Everything God had revealed through Moses and the prophets before Christ's coming into this world as Blessed Mary's child. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments, in the sense that everything written down in the Old Testament scriptures can in fact be summed up in them. Now, there was nothing essentially new in the answer Jesus gave. No pious Jew could possibly take exception to what he'd said, because his words are in fact a direct quotation from the Old Testament scriptures. The only new and remarkable thing in Jesus' answer is that he places the commandment to love one's neighbor on the same level as the commandment to love God. And the apostle of love, Saint John, sums up Jesus' teaching when he writes, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." These words of Saint John and of our Lord Jesus should cut us to the quick. If we have any real self-awareness, since we know only too well how difficult this is, there is so much self-interest and self-regard, even in our seemingly most unselfish actions. Yes, to be a Christian is a matter of loving, and yet we know how difficult that in fact is. It's a truism that a child who's never been loved or has been only inadequately loved will probably have a rather difficult time in life. Yet, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in relationship to God, we are all of us without exception very little children. If we are to grow in love for Him and for our often maddening fellow human beings, we must first experience His love for us. Now, when Jesus asks, "What do you think of the Christ, whose son is He?" his hearers correctly answer, "The Son of David." Jesus then points to the mystery of who He in fact is by citing the opening words of the 110th Psalm, a Psalm of David, a psalm which is cited more often in the New Testament than any other psalm. Jesus asks, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls Him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'?" If David calls Him Lord, how is He His son? Jesus in this way points to the mystery of who He in fact is, the Lord of all, the love of God in flesh and blood. In the 110th Psalm, which I urge you to read prayerfully and carefully and meditatively when you get home today, in this 110th Psalm, David prophetically provides a marvelous picture of the Savior, the Messiah, the King, the eternal High Priest. The psalmist speaks triumphantly of God's victory through the Messiah, the Son of David, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The psalm speaks prophetically of His victory over all our foes, sin and death and Satan. The psalm speaks wonderfully of this victorious King as being also a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, the eternal high priest who on the altar of the cross won the victory, rises from the dead, and ascends into the heavenly places where, as our eternal high priest, He ever lives to make intercession for us. And to be a Christian is to be loved by this eternal priest and king, the victorious Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What the human race most needs is not so much more good advice about loving, but rather the good news of God's costly forgiveness of our chronic inability to heed and to act on all the good advice we in fact already have. For if we only needed good advice, then the teaching of Moses and the prophets would be sufficient, and it would also be enough for Jesus Himself to be nothing more than the greatest teacher and example of love. Now, the Lord Jesus is, of course, the greatest teacher and example of love, but He is more, so much more than that. Jesus is not only the teacher and example of love. Jesus is the love of God in flesh and blood, He is our Savior. He is, as the poet says, that love to the loveless shown, that we might lovely be. Love to the loveless shown, that we might lovely be. In our lostness, in our failure to love, and in all the sorrow and misery that accompany that failure, we cannot rescue ourselves, because we can never undo what we have in fact done. God alone can rescue us, because God alone can pardon us. As Saint Augustine said, so far had our pride cast us down that only the humility of God could raise us up. And this God has done. God has raised us up by coming down to us in the person of his dear Son Jesus, truly God and truly man. Through his life of perfect love, through the shedding of his precious blood on the cross, he has rescued and pardoned us, and since he has risen from the dead, his love never ends. Christianly understood, this life is a school of love. That's what life is for. Of course, in this school, most of us never succeed in getting much beyond kindergarten, beyond taking those first baby steps in the way of love. And often enough, we falter, we fall, we fail. But the forgiving love of our Savior never fails, so that through his mercy, we are in fact being changed into Christ's likeness from glory to glory. To be a Christian is primarily a matter of being loved. Only then is it a matter of loving. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen.